As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Athletic Fantasy Baseball Podcast. It is Friday, March 19th, opening day, less now than 2 weeks away. We are all very excited for that. We are going to celebrate by talking about some MLB win total over-unders on this episode of the Athletic Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I am Michael Beller. Of course, Derek Van Riper is here. And also here, making what I believe to be his Athletic Podcast debut, is Andrew DeWitt. Andrew is our new senior editor for sports betting. Andrew, I'm right about that, right? This is your first podcast at The Athletic?
This is my first podcast at The Athletic, and happy to be here.
Yes, excellent. Well, you're running the sports betting shop. Who better to bring on than you for a show where we're going to be talking about MLB win total over-unders? No offense, DVR. You know, of course, you know, you're good here too. I'm happy you're here too. But, you know, we had to bring on our gambling guy if we're going to be doing this.
Oh, yeah, because most of my analysis is going to be based on individual player performances and factors that we're typically talking about on this show. So we need someone grounded in the logic of the sports book to clarify things.
Oh, man. Well, this is going to be fun. I'm really excited about it. This is something I just love this time of year. I've been hosting the Ding U, our NCAA tournament show. Check that out. We'll be back again on Sunday to preview the second round. I absolutely love the NCAA tournament. I love Major League Baseball. We got that just starting in a couple of weeks here. It's an excellent time on the sports calendar. And this is always one of my favorite parts of the gambling calendar as well, when we get to talk about MLB win total over-unders. So what we're going to do here is we're going to do a few overs that we like and talk through them. We're going to do a few unders that we like, and then if we have time, we'll just talk about maybe some interesting teams where none of us is feeling a over or an under, but interesting teams to talk about. All these win totals coming to us, of course, courtesy of our partners at BetMGM. It's good to start with the positives. We're going to start with those overs, and we've got a couple of teams in the NL East. DVR, you put one of these NL East teams up here. The Washington Nationals checking in at a win total over under of 84.5. You know, it's going to be an interesting division with the Nats, with the Braves, with the Mets, and all the moves that they made this offseason. It's going to be a very competitive division. I think you could make an argument for any of those three teams winning the division, and it's a different Nats team than we're used to seeing with some of the moves that they made this offseason. But 84.5, it feels a little low for the talent that's here. Clearly, you think that's the case too. Why do you think that's the case?
Yeah, I mean, I think the number's a little lower because the division as a whole is better. The Mets, of course, were the story of the offseason for most of the winter. The Marlins are one of those young teams where they could keep bringing up some of their prospects and getting a lot better faster. So I guess the bottom of the division is better. And the Phillies at least have tried to fix their bullpen, which is a major issue for them last year. The offense top to bottom is pretty much the same as it was a year ago with Alec Bohm for a full season. So I can understand why the number has come down. It seems like an overcorrection. I think the Nats did a pretty good job of addressing a few needs on this roster. I like the Kyle Schwarber addition. I think he gets a nice park upgrade in terms of power output going into DC. They still have Soto. They still have Turner. Victor Robles has slimmed down. I said I wasn't going to talk about him on Rates and Barrels until opening day. I'm allowed to talk about him on this show as much as I want. So good loophole for me to exploit there. But the key for this team has always been veteran pitching. Scherzer's back. Strasburg is healthy-ish right now, at least healthy pending his little day-to-day ailment right now. It's not the wrist surgery that knocked him out of the shortened season. Patrick Corbin looks like a guy that's going to bounce back to me. They have flaws, but I think they're the kind of team that sees their window as still open right now. So when we get to the trade deadline this summer, I think they're among the teams that will be adding to fix holes as opposed to dumping and playing for the future. So I think that's part of my faith in the Nats, too, is I see them as pretty clear buyers once we get to July.
Yeah, I like, if I'm going to go anyway on this team, I'm going to go the over. It's probably a stay away for me because of the concerns with the East. I could see, you know, we could see the Braves and the Mets both playing at a 100-win pace this season, and that is the one thing that concerns me about the Nats. I feel good about the Nats' talent overall, and as you said, that veteran pitching, like, the bottom's not falling out of the Nats. Even if they have a bad season for them, it's not like we're going to be talking about a 74-win team or a 75-win team. This is still a team that has a very high floor, and going into a season with a high floor makes 84.5 an attractive number. Throw their recent track record in, and it makes it even more attractive. Andrew, let's go to one of your teams here, one of the winners of the offseason, the Toronto Blue Jays, already a team that was clearly up and coming with all the young talent that they had. They go out in the offseason, they bring in George Springer, they bring in Marcus Semien. This should be a very good offense. Still not quite sure what that rotation is going to look like in practice, an over-under of 86.5, and you are backing the over here with these Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah, so Fangraphs has their projection at 88. Pecota comes in a little bit at 84, but I really like their ability to just make that jump with the legacy players, the Biggios, and just like kind of make that jump. And I think this year they're going to have an advantage in playing Dunedin the first couple months of the season. It's going to be a familiar park for them, whereas every team coming in there, except for the teams that have played there in spring training, it's going to be a new park for them. And they're going to have an advantage there that they don't have. You know, the teams are kind of used to playing in Rogers Center and kind of the quirks of that building, but this is a brand new spring training facility that a lot of teams haven't played in yet. And so just the ability to like take advantage of the home field effects of the park is going to be a big deal for them as well.
Yeah, it's something that Derek and I and everyone in the fantasy industry have been talking about a lot, what the effects of Dunedin are going to have on the hitters in that offense. But as you said, this should be an offense that takes another step this year, and Springer and Semien were excellent additions for this team, but a lot of that's going to be built on those legacy players, built on Kevin Biggio and Bo Bichette and Vlad Jr., becoming the Vlad Jr. that I know a lot of us, myself included, still think he is eventually going to be. The East, obviously, it's not going to be the easiest division. We've got a big win total in this division at the top, and the Yankees, 95.5. We're going to talk about them a little bit later, but for now, I'm going to take us back to the NL East, where I find my favorite win total bet of the entire season, you guys. Atlanta Braves, 91.5, and it's not a small number, and we just got done talking about how the NL East is a very strong division, but I think this Braves team is built to win the World Series this year, and that's, in fact, my World Series pick, is that we're going to be talking about the Braves winning it all this season. I love everything that you look at with this team. The offense speaks for itself. Acuña, Albies, Freddie Freeman, Marcelo Zuna, Travis d'Arnaud, the season he had a season ago, Dansby Swanson. We're talking about a team that's going to be trotting Austin Riley out there in the 7-hole every single day, a guy with that sort of power. I mean, they are going to hit all season long. And then I think it's a very high ceiling starting rotation. Max Fried, Charlie Morton, Ian Anderson. They're going to get Mike Soroka back probably sometime in May, it's looking like. I just don't see why this team should not be considered the prohibitive favorite in the NL East. And that really is no offense to the Mets. I think the Mets are a very good team, and I think that we are going to be talking about the Mets as a playoff team this year, too. I think that it's the Mets and the Braves coming out of this division. But with what the Braves have done over the last couple of years, and last year they were playing comfortably above a 92 win, or added above a 91.5 win pace, excuse me. The year before that, they sailed past what this number would be. It's largely the same personnel. A lot of the younger guys, we have reason to believe they are only getting better. And this number basically asks them just to be the team they've been over the last couple of seasons. I don't see any reason why we should be doubting that. I think we could be looking at the very best team in Major League Baseball. And when you look at where the Dodgers win total is, the Yankees, the Padres at 94.5, the Braves being down to 91.5, that just feels a little bit off to me. So I am loving this Braves over-under. It's a bet I've already made. It's a bet that I might even throw a little bit more on as I get just more bullish as opening day gets closer. DVR, let me ask you about the Braves, just since you are also on the Nationals here. If you were going to make this play, would it be an over or an under for you?
It would be an over, but I think I look at this the way you look at the Nats. It's more of a stay away for me. The main reason it's a stay away, I love the offense. I think the offense top to bottom might be as good as the Dodgers or the Padres. Like, they can hold their own. I think the starting pitching has a little more downside. Charlie Morton, at his age, you just worry about a possible breakdown from him. Drew Smiley's had a really difficult time staying healthy. I know he picked up a few ticks in velocity last year. If he holds that, that looks like a great free agent signing. If he doesn't, he could be a total disaster for them. Ian Anderson obviously looked really good in limited innings last year. I'm just worried about the walk rate with him. I think relative to the field, I'm a little bit more skeptical about Max Fried. I know he keeps exceeding expectations. I think he's good. I don't think he's great. So I'm picking Nats. This is a good team. This is a team that's built for the playoffs. I think they're a better team than the Mets, believe it or not. I think some people would fight me on that. But I do think it's kind of more of a cluster at the top of this division where the Braves, the Nats, and the Mets are all closer together than people realize. So I think we could also bet against the Mets. I think that's kind of what we're both driving around here, is that, you know, they're always fun to bet against. Everything always goes wrong for them anyway. But I could see the pitching, the starting pitching in particular, being the trouble spot for the Braves if they do fall short of that number.
Oh, I'm with you, Derek, on the starting pitching. I think is like the biggest concern for the Braves. And like you said, it's there's three top teams in this division, and you got to pick one or two that's going to fall below their number if all three, like all three teams aren't going to hit the over. So it's about picking that one team. And for me, it's like staying away maybe from the Braves and from the Mets just because of like the hype going into the season.
Yeah, that's definitely a concern, and you know, we've got the Mets at 90.5, and maybe that's an under that we could talk about, or an over, as the case may be, depending on how you feel about these top three teams in the NL East. Andrew, let's go to your second team that you like as an over here. The Kansas City Royals are sitting at 73.5 for their line in Vegas. If you look at the FanGraphs standings, they've got them as a 77-win team, so FanGraphs thinks comfortably the Royals can get past that 73.5 number. I don't think it's a hopeless team, but talk me into 73.5 being an over for them.
Here's my thing is when we look at the Royals, the biggest question when we're looking at the win total is like, how far away are they from being a competitive team again? We know they've been rebuilding after the 2015 World Series win. You know, I think this is a more competitive team and that comes out and fights every day. They have the best record in spring training, which I know doesn't really equate to wins in the regular season, but Bobby Witt Jr. is raising some eyebrows. The big question right now is, does he come out? I mean, obviously they're probably going to leave him in the minors to get that extra year of free, to hold him off from free agency. But I mean, they added Carlos Santana in the offseason. They finished 13th in runs last year. If they can uptick that to middle of the pack, and their pitching last year finished middle of the road as well. You know, the rotation, I think they have three good starters, Danny Duffy, Keller, and Brady Singer. They're all up and coming pitchers. They're on the upside of their careers. And you know, they have two prospects in the bullpen that could come out, Carlos Hernandez and Jackson Kowar, that could make an appearance this year. I just think they're a good team. The only thing that scares me a little bit is, you know, do they dump some of these, veterans at the trade deadline and kind of like say, hey, we're getting there. The young players are making appearances. We're going to call up some people in September to get some appearances, but we know we're not going to make contend at the end of the year this year. So we're just going to dump people at the trade deadline.
Yeah, Whit Merrifield has been a trade deadline name that we've heard for the last couple of years. That could definitely be someone who's in the mix there. Maybe Carlos Santana, if they truly are out of it. Obviously a very attractive piece, a guy who just is an on-base machine, switch hitter, has plenty of power. So he would be someone who could fall into that group if they are falling out of it. I would lean over here too. And, you know, something else to think about is you've got, you know, a truly bad Tigers team in this division. You've got an Indians team that has a lot of, you know, it's the same story with the Indians, right, that we've talked about for so many years. A lot of top-level talent, even after getting rid of Francisco Lindor and Carlos Carrasco. But what do they have behind it? I'm not exactly sure what to expect out of that team. A couple of heavy hitters in this division, at least expected to be heavy hitters, in the White Sox and the Twins. So AL Central going to be one to watch, and maybe the Royals do end up going over that 73.5 number. Derek, we're both going to take things out west for the last two overs that we like here. I'm going to let you go first here. Similar line of thinking, perhaps, to the Royals. You've got the Diamondbacks. Over-under for them is 75.5. Their number on Fangraphs projected standings is down at 73. This is a team that I liked last year, and then they totally fell apart. They had a pretty bad season. I don't think that last year was a true reflection of the talent on the team, but I'm still shying away from them after the experience of last year. Why are you not shying away from these guys?
They won 85 games in 2019. I know the Padres weren't nearly as good 2 years ago as they are now. The Dodgers were at least as good then as they are now. So there are two juggernauts in division now, and I think that's steering people away from the NL West. But the Diamondbacks, at their best, were actually really good at run prevention. I don't think that's necessarily changed when you look at the way this roster has built. So I think there's going to be one of those pesky teams. I mean, compared to the Rockies, who could easily be the worst team in the entire league this year after the Arenado trade, I mean, that cupboard's totally bare. The Giants are kind of like the Royals, where they're the rebuilding team that's trying. I think you have to give them at least a little bit of respect for that. But, I mean, Arizona, I think, has a sneaky good rotation. I think this is one area where they could surprise a lot of people, both just in terms of over-under, but fantasy sleepers, too. We obviously are all about Zach Gallen in the fantasy community, but the depth there, I think Luke Weaver could be a bounce-back guy. Corbin Martin, he's not going to start the year in the rotation, but he was a big part of the Zach Greinke trade. I think he finishes the year in their starting five. Maybe they get quality innings from Bumgarner or Caleb Smith or Merrill Kelly. They at least have six or seven big league quality starters, and there are not many teams you can say that about. Bullpen concerns, I think, are lingering there. They're going to bring up J.B. Bikoskis after they manipulate his service time. That'll help a little bit in the late innings. And if you look position by position, they're really similar to the build they had when they were an 85-win team just 2 years ago. They still have some power with guys like Christian Walker and Eduardo Escobar in the heart of the order. They have some continuity with guys like David Peralta. Kettle Marte should bounce back from a miserable injury-shortened season. So I just think you kind of look at position by position. They're just as good as they were a couple of years ago. And I think there's a good chance the pitching's actually better than it was 2 years ago.
Yeah, run prevention definitely could be a real big trait for this team. I think we should expect it to be a big trait for this team. And I agree. The biggest thing here for me, Ketel Marte, I do agree, a big-time bounce-back season in store for him. And just unfortunate that we have to talk about, that we can just offhandedly throw away service time manipulation concerns. That's the world that we're living in Major League Baseball. Let's talk about an AL West team here, guys. I'm going to go with the Angels. And, you know, every year it feels like it's the Angels' year. It's the Angels' year. It's the Angels' year. They're finally going to do it. 83.5 is the number for this team. You look at the standings projections on Fangraphs, and they're right there also. 84-78 is where Fangraphs has this team coming in this season. I like them a lot. I really like this team. First of all, I think they're going to, you know, the top part of the order is going to hit. David Fletcher, Shohei Ohtani, Mike Trout, Anthony Rendon. Feel very good about that top four. I'll put that top four up against, you know, almost any top four in the league. So I really don't think offense is going to be too much of an issue for this team. You know, Justin Upton, very streaky. Joe Adell, we'll see what we end up getting out of him. Jared Walsh, a guy that we're starting to get excited about in the fantasy world. Dexter Fowler, incredibly streaky. Like, there's going to be some times where the top four really has to carry this team offensively, and I'm comfortable going into the season like that. I look at the starting rotation, and I think there is really no in-between for this team. I think we could see an incredibly strong starting rotation or the bottom completely fall out. But I am comfortable making the bet on the incredibly strong side of things, right? You've got Dylan Bundy after the season he had last year. Andrew Heaney, you know, the guy who just, you know, can never quite put it together. He finally stayed healthy last year, but gave up a lot of home runs and wasn't quite at the level that we had seen him on a per-start basis previously in his career. Griffin Canning, also a ton of talent and a ton of injury concerns. Shohei Ohtani, same story there. All the talent in the world, only going to pitch once a week, does have the injury concerns as well, and you start to wonder if and when they would want to make him a hitter only if there is another injury that crops up. You do have some, I think, safety in the back end of the rotation with guys like Alex Cobb and Jose Quintana. And this is something you were just talking about, DVR with Arizona, and I think it's important to make this point. I wanted to make it on the Diamondbacks as well. All right, we're not going to see very many pitchers go 180-plus innings this season. We know that. So starting pitching depth is going to be very important. The Angels don't have it in the way that the Diamondbacks do because of the injury concerns that are here. But when these guys are all healthy, they will have it. They will have guys who they can turn to in the rotation, and I really think that's going to help them. I think we see Houston and Oakland coming back to the pack in the AL West. And then I got to admit, this is like totally narrative driven, something we try to stay away from. I can't believe that Mike Trout is going to be shut out of the playoffs forever, right? I mean, the guy's played one playoff game in his career. I can't believe that it's just going to be an entire career of Mike Trout missing the playoffs in a way that would have been normal in the 50s when there were no divisions and it was just the AL winner and the NL winner and they go and play in the World Series and Ernie Banks, you know, never played in the playoffs in his career. That's not going to happen to Mike Trout. Like, Mike Trout's going to get a legitimate playoff run at some point in his career, and everything feels like it's lining up with the way the Angels are getting healthy and surging in the way that the Astros and the A's are coming back to the pack in the AL West. I think Joe Maddon deserves a little bit of credit here too, a guy who has been very successful in two previous stops in his career. No reason to think he can't recreate that success with the Angels as well. I like this team. I think they ultimately win the AL West, so I feel pretty good about going over 83.5. Either of you want to, Andrew, I see you nodding along with me a lot. Are you in agreement here?
Yeah, the only thing that scares me about the Angels, they haven't been over 83.5 since 2015. So, yeah. Like you said, Mike Trout, most talented baseball player in the world, right? I mean, we all agree that he's the player you want on your team and just haven't been able to build a team around him. But I think, can they stay healthy? Can they just kind of build that depth? And is the bullpen good enough to, like, kind of keep up with the starting rotation? You know, like you mentioned, kind of that the thing I've been looking at with these teams is, like, how many pitchers are going to go over 200 innings this year? You know, it's they're all concerned about the arms. Every single team is concerned about the arms. And so that's like the big question is, do they have the depth to keep up with the demands of the 162-game season?
Yeah, it's going to be a concern for most every team, I think, in the majors. But I like that they've got the diversity, at least, in the rotation. And if things fall right, I think this team could be one that really surges past 83.5. We know that there are going to be surprise teams every season. And I think that the Angels are set up to be one with just the way that the West is starting to shape up as we go into the regular season.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, guys, ready to get a little bit negative here? Want to turn things over to some unders that we're thinking about? Derek, let's go with you first here. We already talked about, right, the Yankees, 95.5 is the number for them. I don't know. I mean, you know, whenever you look at over-unders, right, it's a good place to start at the very top and find a way to go under because 96 wins is a lot of wins. You can still be a really, really good baseball team and win fewer than 95.5 games. The Yankees, though, this is a tough sell for me. Why are you on this?
I think it's a more competitive division than people are giving credit for. I mean, I think the Jays are legitimately improved, like we talked about earlier, so I think that eats into the total a little bit. The Rays are probably going to take a smaller step back than people expect. They always find a way, like Oakland, they always find a way to exceed your expectations in the regular season. It's player development. It's digging into the scrap heap. It's finding second and third pieces of trades and turning them into more prominent parts of that roster. But I look at this Yankees team. I mean, the same concern, it's good every year because they just keep running it back. Same concerns I had a year ago were all there. The health of Giancarlo Stanton, right? The health of Aaron Judge. You get down to the pitching. Cole's amazing. But Corey Kluber has pitched, like, what, 50 innings the last two seasons combined? Mm-hmm. Jameson Taillon, unfortunately, has had multiple Tommy John surgeries. I think with Jordan Montgomery and Domingo Herman and Davey Garcia, like, they've definitely got the good depth. They've got six major league starters plus more guys in the minors like Clark Schmidt. Michael King's pretty good as a glue guy. And then you've got Luis Severino coming back from Tommy John surgery at some point this season. They have plenty of starting pitching. But you assume they're going to lean heavily into that depth because they always have to. The bullpen's still really good. I don't know if it's the peak Yankees bullpen. We do have the injury for Zach Britton early in the year, so that could be a little bit of a problem in the shorter term. I think they're getting to the point where their next wave of prospects is pretty far away, so a lot of their improvements are going to come from trades rather than promotions. They look old to me, and I see the youth movement happening in Toronto. I see a really loaded Rays lineup where they still have multiple top-end prospects who are going to come up and play at a high level. Wander's going to come up at some point this year. Mm-hmm. Vidal Brujan would be up on any other team. They've got young pitching that's going to come up and complement some of the old guys they signed. Like, I think the Yankees are good. I think they're going to win like 92, 93 games instead. And I think they could even fall closer to the pack if injuries hit them as hard as they've hit them in years past. Even Luke Voit, who doesn't fall into the Stanton Judge category of perennial injury problems, hit a bad foot throughout last season, like a plantar fasciitis type problem. That could come back. I mean, I think they're really well built, but I just think they're an old core that could actually struggle to hit that high total.
And Luke Voit, no sure thing also with what he did last season. It's not like we're talking about a guy with an extensive track record to be the sort of hitter he was a year ago. And to your point, Derek, this is the one team that, or the one division, excuse me, the AL East, that Fangraphs has with four teams projected to be over 500. Got the Yankees at 95, Blue Jays at 88, expecting a big bounce back year from the Red Sox at 85 and 77, and then the Rays coming in at 84 and 78 in Fangraphs projected standings. So this could be a very interesting division that we're looking at here. The Yankees, though, obviously at the top of the heap. At the very, very opposite end of the spectrum, we find the Pittsburgh Pirates, the lowest win total over-under, not only this season, but that I remember seeing in quite some time. 58.5 is the number for the Pirates this year. 58-104 is what they would have to be to go under this number. That is really bad. We would maybe be talking about them pushing for the most losses in Major League history at some point if they do end up being a 58-104 team. That's not scaring you, though, Andrew. You like the under for this team. 66 is the win total that Fangraphs has given them. Why are you so much lower?
I guess I'm kind of going with a little game theory here and going, what does Vegas know that we don't know? Obviously, we know a lot about baseball teams, but Pakoda also has it at 62. I just look at this team, and I went through the roster this morning. I don't know anyone on this team. It's just a terrible team. I look at their farm system. You know, is there help on the way? Is it a deep farm system? There's nothing coming, according to our experts at the Athletic. So it's just like, you know, what is there to like about this team? PNC Ballpark's best stadium in major leagues, maybe. But other than that, I just don't see it. And I honestly just think this team isn't going to be a lost team for this year. And I just don't see them having the motivation to go out there every day and try and win, especially towards the end of the season. And I just, you know, it's hard to go, like you said, 58.5 is a really, really low number. But I think this is one of the worst teams we've seen since the Tigers teams that lost, you know, in the mid-110s that for a couple seasons there. So I just think the Pirates are a team that are just going to really struggle this year. And, you know, the NL Central, it has a few good teams. They're going to see those teams a lot. And the NL has improved as a league this year. So it's just going to be a struggle for the Pirates to even get to 60 wins, I think.
Yeah, Derek and I, on one of our other fantasy baseball podcasts, Fantasy Baseball in 15, were part of a team preview series where we ran through all 30 teams, and Derek and I were going back and forth, so he did 15 of them and I did 15 of them, and I had the pleasure of doing the Pirates episode, and when I was preparing for it, I was right there with you, Andrew, in that this lineup made me sad, right? I mean, we're talking about a team that's going to trot out Colin Moran as their three hitter every single day. And I mean, no offense to Colin if he's listening to the show. I mean, I'm sure he's a perfectly nice person, but that's not an MLB three hitter. And like, it's just a team that really leaves you. I mean, you look almost every team in the majors, excuse me, we can find some sort of strength, something that we like about the team. And the Pirates, it's like, there's just nothing that jumps out at you as something that like, yeah, you know, they're going to be probably a last place team, but at least they can do X and Y. There's just really nothing with this Pirates team. 58 is so low a number that I can't get in on it myself. But if I was going to go in a direction, 58 would be, I would go under that number because this is just a team that really does have a helpless look going into the season. I'm going to stick in the division for my favorite under, my second favorite play overall, behind the Braves going over 91.5. It's the Cardinals going under 86.5. And you know, part of it, I will say, has to do with the fact that this NL Central, the four teams that I think could win the division, everyone but the Pirates, feels so flat to me that I probably would have liked the under for whichever one of those four Vegas decided to make the highest of this group. Wouldn't have mattered who it was. If the Brewers were there, if the Cubs were there, if the Reds were there, I would probably like the under because I think those four teams are going to be very equal and that we could see you know, maybe one of them pull away from the pack, but I wouldn't want to be out there betting on the one to pull away from the group. But the biggest reason why I'm against them is not just that. That has something to do with it, but the fact that I think you look at those four teams and doesn't St. Louis have the worst rotation in that group? Like, this rotation beyond Jack Flaherty has a ton of questions. And we've already got Miles Michaelis hurt. And, you know, we're not sure exactly what they're going to be doing. You're looking at, you know, Carlos Martinez slotted into a rotation spot. And who knows what he's going to be able to do as a starting pitcher. Adam Wainwright is in his age 39, age 40 season. They got a lot out of him last year. And I still think there's a floor there. But he's not someone who you trust to go out there and, you know, be this top-line starter. I mean, it's been years since that was the case for Adam Wainwright. I just think there are a ton of questions in this rotation, and that has me really scared about a team that would have to go 87 and 75 to hit their over. I love Jack Flaherty. I think Jack Flaherty is a great pitcher. I think Jack Flaherty could take even another step this year and be, you know, maybe a Cy Young winner, but he can't pitch every single game. And like, I just think this team is going to run into a lot of rotation troubles this season. And, you know, it's a Cardinals team that could have a strong bullpen with Jordan Hicks back this year, Alex Reyes figuring things out in the pen, Giovanni Gallegos, Andrew Miller, some guys who can go long in Ryan Helsley and Henesy Cabrera, Ponce de Leon. I mean, this could be a good bullpen, and they could lean on that bullpen. We've seen that from the Cardinals in the past. I think they're going to hit. I really like Tommy Edman at the top of this lineup every day. I think Dylan Carlson, you know, has a potential breakout season in him. Nolan Arenado, obviously a major upgrade for these guys. Paul DeJong, still a very steady guy. Same goes for Paul Goldschmidt. I think they're going to hit. I just think that they're going to run into a ton of rotation trouble, and it is very rare that you see a team with legitimately the number four rotation in its own division also go out and win that division. And I look at what the Reds still have with Luis Castillo and Sonny Gray, assuming that he's healthy, and Tyler Mahle, who everyone at the Athletic loves, and maybe TJ Antone breaking into that rotation. It could be a very good rotation. Brandon Woodruff and Corbin Burns at the top of the Brewers rotation, maybe the best 1-2 right there with Castillo and Gray in the division. The Cubs lose Yu Darvish, but still a pretty steady group of guys. Kyle Hendricks, Zach Davies, Jake Arrieta, like, the bottom's not going to fall out of that rotation the way that St. Louis's could. I just don't see how this team wins 87 games with that sort of starting rotation. I think they would need to make a major move to get to that number. So this one was one that jumped right out at me, liking the under in this. Derek, let's go to you for a second here. You're in this division too, day in, day out, being a Brewers fan. What are you thinking here? Not just a simple Cardinals fade, as much as we like to do that. Do you agree or disagree with me on these guys?
It's a stay away for me. I understand your logic. I think it's pretty sound. I do think the rotation is probably their biggest trouble spot. I think the question for me is, how good are they going to be at run prevention? Can they mask some of the flaws of the starting pitching by being a good defensive team and by leaning really heavily on that bullpen? Because their top five in their bullpen stacks up really well with most of their bullpens. Alex Reyes for 90 to 100 innings out of the pen could be absolutely nasty. I would say of NL relievers right now, there's a short list of guys that make hitters more uncomfortable in the box than he does right now. So you pair that with Hicks and Gallegos, Miller, Ryan Helsley, Cabrera. That's a really nice bullpen to lean on. They're going to have to add a starting pitcher at some point, or they're going to have to get some unexpectedly high-quality innings from some of the depth guys. Johan Oviedo came up in a Baseball America piece I was reading in terms of players that looked really good this spring in the eyes of some scouts. I thought that was pretty interesting because he has good stuff. It's a question of command with Oviedo. So if you get a pop-up guy like that, and the Cardinals are so damn good at just finding depth guys that emerge to take on prominent roles, suddenly things start to look a little better. I've had a bad read on Kwang-Yun Kim since last season. I don't trust the ratios from last year. I don't think anybody does. But how good is he really? Is he a mid-threes ERA guy that actually can go five consistently for them over a full season? I think the Miles Michaelis injury is a big problem for them because, if nothing else, he was going to eat a lot of innings. Right. So I see all these areas of concern, but I think that offense is good enough to keep them afloat. And I think they're going to be kind of like the Nats in buy mode midseason that probably gets them just above that number. But as far as your general logic about the NL Central goes, it's a four-team battle, and I think you could just bet the under on the highest total as you are and justify it by the other three teams just all exceeding expectations.
It's exactly what I want to do. I want to take the under on the highest total and the over on the lowest total and expect that these teams are going to be battling it out all season long. Now, is that driven by the fact that the Cardinals have the highest and the team over my shoulder here has the lowest at 78.5? No, it's not. You could easily point that out. Someone could, you know, be you know, a bad actor and say that that's what's going on here. But I just think that there's a lot of logic behind it as we look at this NL Central that, again, I think is going to be very flat. And for the record, I'm actually picking the Reds to win this division, just like I did a year ago. I still really, really like that pitching.
Victorinox, the makers of the original Swiss Army knife, have been a reliable companion for life's everyday challenges, mastering functionality, innovation, iconic design, and uncompromising quality with its products. The Victorinox Swiss Army knife provides you with all the things you don't think about until you need it. Tweezers, a screwdriver, and even a corkscrew. With the Victorinox Swiss Army Knife, you can be prepared to master everyday life. You can find Victorinox Swiss Army Knives at Dick's Sporting Goods.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's
the
little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Let's talk about some teams, you guys, that we don't necessarily want to put any money on going over or under, but that are just interesting teams. Teams that are going to get talked about a lot. We'll just round out the show with a few of those. Dodgers, 102.5. We have to talk about them. The highest total on the board at 102.5. I mean, Andrew, is there any way you could bet a team to go over 102.5? I don't care how talented they are. Is that just something that you could, you know, square in your mind to do?
It just scares me. I mean, like we've said, the Padres are another great team in that division. Do you, instead of taking the Dodgers, do you just go say, hey, let's go with the Padres to go over that total because it's a lot more reasonable? You know, I just have a hard time saying, hey, any team is going to go out and guarantee they're going to win 103 games this season. Injuries come up all the time. Like, there's just so many things that you can do. I will say one thing I do like about the Dodgers, Kyle Seager, 12-1 to win the MVP, really good number on that guy. You know, and maybe he's the best third best position player on that team, but he's a really good bet if he has a bounce back season. He already has 5 home runs in spring training. So just one thing on the Dodgers to take a look at.
Yeah, Corey Seager, definitely a guy who, after what he did last year, right, to putting together, got the injuries behind him, having the sort of year that we always thought he could have a season ago in the shortened year, and maybe he can put it together for the full 162 that he gets this year. You know, Andrew, you bring up something with the Padres going at 94.5, and you know that too scares me just because we're still, you know, betting on some evidence of things not fully seen with this team. How do they, you know, what happens with Blake Snell being extended, or at least we expect him to be extended this year? Yu Darvish had an unbelievable year last year and has been a much different guy over the last year and a half in terms of his walk rate and his strikeout rate, but still a guy who's in his mid-30s, right? I mean, you know, we can't necessarily just pencil him in for the year that he had with the Cubs a season ago. But I do look at the division odds and see the Dodgers at -250 on BetMGM and the Padres at +200. And it's not very often that you can get one of the World Series favorites with one of the highest win totals at a +200 number in their own division. So that is something, like, I would rather do that. I would rather get 2-1 on the Padres to win the division rather than have to just get, you know, a -110 number at them to win 95 games when they're going to be playing 19 of those against the Dodgers. Derek, the Padres, 94.5. Is there anything that interests you about that number?
I don't think I would bet it. I do think the Padres are legitimately good, and I think the step forward they took last year is something they can sustain. They did a great job adding depth. They loaded up the rotation. It does come with a good bit of injury risk, but we talked about the other teams in this division. I think Arizona is credible. The other two teams are below 500 with ease, and one might be the worst in baseball. So I do think if I had to bet a side, it would be the over, but I think it's a stay away for me. How does it go wrong for the Dodgers? I was just thinking, like, in my head, like, how does it fall apart for them this year? Like, what series of events has to happen for them? Like, they could lose two starters for the entire season and still backfill pretty capably. You'd have Dustin May and Tony Gonsolin joining the rotation, and those guys would be mid-rotation starters anywhere else in the league right now, pretty much. So you can't break them there. Like, you look at the position player depth. They've always done a good job of having high-quality reserves like Chris Taylor. Kike Hernandez is gone, but I think they replaced him pretty capably because they've got Matt Beatty. They've got Edwin Rios. They traded for Sheldon Noisy. Like, I don't really see a big weakness here, and I don't think I could bet a number that high, but I'm having a hard time. Like, the number of things that would have to go wrong for the Dodgers to not be the best team in the NL in terms of wins, it's pretty amazing.
It would just have to be just one of the most bad luck injury seasons we've ever seen, or a combination of bad luck injury and a lot of guys somehow coming in at like the bottom end of their realistic window of expectations, right? Because, I mean, that's really the only way it could happen. I mean, you said it, Dustin May and Tony Gonsolin. Forget about being mid-rotation guys in a lot of rotations. Like, this is literally the only team, maybe the Padres could also keep one of those guys out of the rotation, or even both, with Joe Musgrove and Chris Paddock and Denelson Lamet behind the two guys I mentioned earlier, right? But like, there is one, maybe two teams in this entire major leagues where those guys are not easy starters, and not only are they not there, they're like, there's no doubt that they're not there, right? I mean, you can't even find a way to get them into the rotation, and they're both going to make their starts, but it's just crazy the depth that this team manages to keep, even when they lose guys, right? I mean, Kenta Maeda used to be on this team. Ross Stripling used to be on this team. And those guys can walk, and it's like, yeah, whatever. We've got this 22-year-old who throws the craziest fastballs in Major League Baseball. We'll be okay. Good luck, Kenta. We'll figure it out. And it's wild what this team is able to do year after year, and I don't see a realistic way that things do go wrong for them. But speaking of Kenta Maeda, I do want to talk about the Minnesota Twins. Derek, I sort of go to you as a Twins expert, as sort of our Upper Midwest resident expert here at The Athletic. 88.5 is a number that scares me a little bit for this team, but it's a team that I find myself underestimating every year, and they come into the year and they hit a ton of homers and they end up winning 93 games and everyone's ready for someone else to pick them off in the division, and they hold off the Indians, and now they've got the White Sox, and they hold off the White Sox, and we're talking about the Twins as an AL Central champion again. 88.5, is there anything here that would get your juices flowing?
It's an avoid for me. I do like the Twins. I got the Bomba Squad towel behind me if you're watching on video. I think they've done a good job, you know, building some depth here. Alex Kirilloff could match what Eddie Rosario brings from a real-life perspective, so kind of a one-for-one trade there. They've got great catching depth. They're strong defensively up the middle. When Buxton is healthy, they've got Andrelton Simmons now at shortstop. Moving Polanco from short to second is good for this pitching staff. Not really a lot of weaknesses. Maeda, I'm not in on him from a fantasy perspective because the cost is too high. I think he's really good. I just think it's an overcorrection. I'm still on Jose Berrios, so if you want to say BBR's a dummy, go ahead, say it. It's probably true. Here's where I think they have a lot of issues. In the back half of their rotation, like, Randy Dobnak and Devin Smeltzer are competent, temporary fill-in type guys, but they're not guys that are going to be in a playoff rotation. They need Michael Pineda to stay healthy. They need the J-Hap bounce back to be like a real thing. And they need Matt Shoemaker to stay healthy. And he's had just a ridiculous run of bad luck injury-wise in recent years. So I think there's some really big question marks in the back half of this rotation. The White Sox are better. The Royals are better, like we said before. The Tigers, yeah, they're still bad, but they're at least the kind of bad team that's trying because they're going to bring a lot of young players up. Right. So I don't think they're a doormat the way that Pittsburgh or Colorado is a doormat. I think that's a problem when you're trying to bet an over for a possible division winner. And, you know, Cleveland took a step back, but do we think they're just going to completely fall apart without Francisco Lindor? I mean,
too much talent.
I certainly don't. Like, yeah, Andrés Giménez is pretty interesting. We'll see how they fit Rosario into the lineup. They still have a good core, and they develop pitching really well. So I think this is an increasingly competitive division, and that's among my concerns with the Twins this year.
It's an old rotation, too, in Minnesota, with Maeda in his age 33, Pineda age 32, Happ 38, Shoemaker 34. Like, you know, age is not going to be on their side in the rotation, and that's another place where things could go wrong for this team. Let's get one more team in before we call it a show. The New York Mets, the most bet-on team at BetMGM for the World Series, not necessarily for their win total, but they're still coming in at 90.5. We've talked a bit about the competitiveness of the NL East this season. The Mets are a big reason why we see the Nationals number pushed down to 84.5. I love what the Mets have done. I think they're going to be a very good team. I am buying the Mets in general, and that has me wanting to play the over a little bit. But because of the Nats, because of how much I love the Braves, I'm staying away from it. Andrew, what do you got on the Mets for us?
I'm staying away from the Mets' total as well. I just don't think it's a no play for me. One thing to factor in is, like, every team that has, like, this big hype offseason, it seems like BetMGM wants to move that total just a little bit higher. You know, there are a lot – they're a New York market team, similar to the Yankees. That premium price comes up in the betting markets. You know, maybe that's – adds two wins to the total that shouldn't be there just because of more people putting money on the Mets. And that's, we've seen their World Series odds change already. So, you know, how is that factoring into the win total? And it was probably built into the numbers. So I'm just kind of staying away from it and just kind of walking away from the number right now with the Mets.
Yeah, I still look at them and I can't see where things really go wrong. Because of just I love Jacob DeGrom. Love Marcus Stroman, think that he gives them exactly what they want. I guess if something does go wrong, it goes wrong beyond them in the rotation. You know, hopefully we're seeing Noah Syndergaard return sooner rather than later, but even if it is sooner, it's not like it's going to be super soon. And I think that's where things go wrong, with maybe Taijuan Walker and Joey Lucchese rounding out the rotation, because I'm a very big believer in this offense. I would love to see, I wish, you know, reading the tea leaves of spring training lineups, I don't think we're going to see Jeff McNeil at the top. I would love to see, like, Nimmo, McNeil, Lindor, Conforto, Alonso, Smith. Seems like McNeil's going to be at the back end of that, hitting sixth. Not how I would build it. Luis Rojas didn't ask me, though, so it's a lineup change that I would like to see happen, but obviously not something that determines where you go on this Mets team. But it's going to be fun, and competitive NL East with all three of those teams being involved, I think, would be good for baseball for sure. And hopefully this show has been good for you out there, and hopefully maybe good for your wallets as we get into September and October. That's going to wrap things up for this episode of the Athletic Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back with you with our couple episodes next week, of course, Under the Radar. Derek, Nando, and Ian Kahn, and then Derek and I back with you later in the week as we really get into the big draft weekend next week with MLB opening day, now less than 2 weeks away. For Andrew and Derek, I am Michael Beller. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week with Under the Radar.